Imbalance IT Solutions provides a unique consulting approach to transform your organization's data, cybersecurity, and hybrid cloud environments. We would like to welcome you to our podcast series we call The Balancing Act, discussing complex digital transformation. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
Hello, listeners out there. This is Ryan O'Halloran, VP of Security Strategy here at Imbalance IT, bringing you episode 4 of the Balancing Act podcast series titled Abnormal Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Today, we're going to be discussing the latest cybersecurity awareness tips and modern protections for our listeners. And I have with me special guest, Mick Leach. Mick is the Field Chief Information Security Officer at Abnormal Security, which is a groundbreaking cloud email platform that leverages AI-based behavioral data sciences to stop social engineering and never-before-seen attacks. Mick, good morning. How are you doing today?
Hey, good morning, Ryan. I'm well, thanks. Really appreciate you having me on the show, and just excited to be here.
Yeah, couldn't be more fitting for Cybersecurity Awareness Month, right? I think of email attacks and I think of AI. So I think we're going to have a couple new things to talk about.
Absolutely. Before
we get into the latest, greatest trends, if you could tell the listeners a little bit about your background and your experience at Abnormal, which really I think is going to fit like a glove for the topic of Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Why don't you give us a little bit about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to do that. So I'm Mick Leach, Field CISO here at Abnormal Security. Been here about 3 years, but prior to that, if you want to go way back in time, was in the United States Army for a little over 8.5 years and was a cavalry scout. So scouts out for anybody that knows what that means. But so I'd done that for quite a while and then somehow was able to parlay my military training into like an IT support gig. And so got out of the Army and started doing technical things and enjoyed that. And really the big break for me was getting to join a security operations center just as it was kind of being built out. It was a brand new capability at a Fortune 100 insurance company years ago now. And then sort of the unthinkable happened, right? A breach occurred. And it's public, it's well known at this point. But what happened out of that was that we got an opportunity to sort of open the wallet, really start to decide what should we be doing. And we were able to build out over the course of 4 or 5 years a world-class security command center at that company. And I was able to parlay that activity and that knowledge and experience into another gig at another company where they hired me to come in and kind of build out their security operations organization. This was as a Fortune 500 financial services company and enjoyed doing that. Have worked with all the great security solutions out there and some great folks and enjoyed that a lot. And then finally, I bought and used this solution nobody'd ever heard of. We thought the name was kind of silly. It was called Abnormal Security to solve some phishing problems in my own environment. And after a year and a half of using it, I realized they were really changing the game. Everything, not only did the solution work properly, but it was innovative and new. And the people that I was working with from the customer side were genuinely interested in hearing our feedback. And it was changing the way the solution worked and they were meeting our needs. I was like, man, this is a company I could be a part of. And lo and behold, found a role posted on their website. It looked like it had been written for me. I was so excited and applied and got the opportunity to come. And so I've been here about 3 years, the first 2 years of which I was the head of security operations. So I helped build out our internal security program here. And then in November of last year, they said, Mick, we would love for you to do a little bit more speaking. That seems to be going really well. And I said, guys, you're killing me. I don't know how I can possibly do any more. Like, I'm barely getting my OKRs done as it is now.
You can squeeze it in there.
Yeah, right. Going back to the hotel left at an event somewhere, working for another 4 or 5 hours into the wee hours of the night to get all of the actual work done. I was like, guys, there's just no way. And And so they said, well, what if we kind of backfilled your, you know, security operations space, and then you could focus a little more entirely on this? And I said, wow, all right. Is that a gig? Like, what would that even look like? What would we even call that? And they said, well, we could call it field CISO. And that was the first time I'd ever heard the term. I'd never heard it before. I had to Google it, went and looked it up. And now I've met a few of us out there. We've got a little group. And so we meet occasionally, quarterly. And so, yeah, I've been doing this field CISO gig for a little while now. Podcasts like this, industry presentations, webinars, that kind of thing. Really just bringing thought leadership and sharing, you know, opinions and experience with the masses. So that's awesome. That's what I've been up to lately.
That's awesome. Awesome stuff. I'm glad to have you. We know we need more strategic advisors, both on the manufacturer side and then also culturally within our customers' unique business. They're all a snowflake of some kind, right?
Absolutely.
So tell us, for the listeners, Cybersecurity Awareness Month, right? It's been around for a long time. One of the main things is kind of evangelizing good practice, right? Good hygiene. Tell us a little bit about what good hygiene looks like. Obviously, there's some classics in there, but we got to cover them, right? Because it's got to continue to be spoken. But tell us about that, and maybe a little bit of what might be new with the introduction of AI.
Sure. So I think you know, much like, you know, football or your other sports analogies, right? You know, it begins with the simple things. You know, you've got to make sure in terms of football, right, you got to make sure you're blocking and tackling well before it opens the door to the rest of the playbook, if you will. And cybersecurity is no different. You've got to do the simple things well. Remember that bad actors are often targeting, much like, you know, real thieves, you know, they're targeting the easiest house on the block. Right, where the newspapers are piled up, the bushes are overgrown, the lights are off, it looks like nobody's been home for weeks. That's the house that they're going to target. Cyber actors are no different, right? They're targeting the easiest victim most of the time, right? 80-90% of attacks really are targeting that lowest common denominator. And so that's why it's the simple things that matter most, right? Using a good password and then not you reusing that password. In terms of passwords, length is king. I think we've known that for some time. So the longer you can make it, if you can make it more of a passphrase, that's better. So
really alpha, exactly. Non-alpha number. I think we're at 14 now characters a great middle ground, right?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of the initial start, but then using multi-factor authentication, whether it's a simple push, which is kind of the lowest level, that you get up to like a one-time password where, you know, you get a set of digits or something along those lines that's good for only about a minute or so, you know, and you can continue to layer on these kinds of things. I think, you know, biometrics are important, whether it's Face ID on your Apple devices or Windows Hello, if you go that route.
Windows Hello, right? Has been very adopted now, you know.
Absolutely.
Now we're using pins and facial recognition. And finally, right, like for a while, the hardware was really a little bit further away from that. and now, you know, you're rolling out an MDM and it's a thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So those things are good. Moving even into something like a password list, we're using tokens that are automatically created and are short-lived, or even probably the highest, in my opinion, the highest level would be like a FIDO2, right? If you get into like a YubiKey or something along like a hardware token that proves your identity.
And for the listeners that might not be familiar with FIDO2, that's Fast Identity Online, right? And it's known as phish resistant. Can you tell us why it is phish resistant?
Yeah, it is phish resistant, largely because you have to have that thumb drive, right? Most of the time it comes with like a token, a USB key of some sort.
Physical, not logical.
A physical device that you have to carry around with you, which makes it a little clunkier to some extent, but as most of us can plug stuff into our, our laptops or even our mobile devices these days, you can authenticate immediately with that. And so someone would have to compromise not only something you know, meaning your password, but something you have, meaning that physical device, which is far, far less likely.
Yeah. And then in the FIDO, they don't even ever know the password. These things are generating the keys. And
precisely.
We're seeing that same type of adoption on the admin level. But at the user level, I think that's where we're going.
It'd be nice to
not have to remember the password at all. You know, and know that you could actually be more secure. It's like, is that real?
Yes. Yeah.
It's abnormal.
So that's why I tell folks, and even simple things like using, a password solution, whether it's, 1Pass or there's a LastPass. There's a lot of solutions out there that can help remember or retain all of your different passwords. They keep them in a vault, and you really just have to remember the master password, which you should make very complex and very long. But that 1Password is the gateway to everything else. That's a good solution as well. I think the last thing I'd say is really around keeping your systems updated. You know, it's most of the time that we see systems fall prey to something, whether it's malware, whether it's social engineering attacks, right? Many times the front door is a system that is simply out of date. Bad actors are capitalizing on exploits that have been around for a long time. We can plug those gaps.
Yeah, and one of the things I tell a lot of folks in this, when we talk about threat intelligence, for a lot of the, those that aren't as familiar with it, they think, oh man, this is something that's so far away. You can go to CISA.gov, opt into the threat intelligence that's there, and it'll tell you it's time to update your Apple phone. It's time to update that Mac OS. Right. And I think even personally, we all want that. You know, it's just one of those things is our personal devices don't have all that automation. And these things are coming out really quick. You know, as a matter of fact, I'd like to bring this up. I think we all get hit with the privacy policies and those little opt-ins. Right. And end users don't want to read it. No one wants to read it. I don't want to read it. The one thing with this, though, is that a lot of times when you're opting in, there's a segment that says we're going to turn on a feature for AI that's going to use your personal information and train our large language model. I noticed recently that LinkedIn turned this on for me. Thank you, LinkedIn. Right. And I'm like, wow, so how could I spend less time paying attention to that, but still be effective? And one thing that I've been recommending is revisit your privacy settings in your social media and other areas once in a while. Just go in there, see what's turned on, take a look. I targeted the LinkedIn one a little bit. So if you haven't looked at that one, check that out. You may want to turn that off. But go into your Gmail, go into your Hotmail, go into Facebook, go into X, whatever it is that you have. And just know that those things are being turned on and you're opting in and you're not really aware. But that doesn't mean you can't go in and do something about it just once in a while for a couple minutes, right?
Yeah. Agreed wholeheartedly. I, too, also noticed that because I had heard some rumblings. A colleague of mine had said, hey, did you see that LinkedIn changed some things? And I went in and looked at mine and was like, oh, my goodness, you're right. And that's not uncommon. I remember years ago now, Facebook.
Not at all.
Yeah. Facebook had changed the way they were sharing the updates, right? So your posts. And suddenly I remember seeing like people I didn't know commenting on posts I'd put out there. And I was like, whoa, this was supposed to be only for my friends and my family. Like, where did this come from? And they had changed a setting. And the default was that it would make everything visible to everyone. And that was pretty terrifying. So I remember that was the first time I got bit by that sort of new default on feature, but now it's very common.
Yeah. No doubt. Also talking about the now, right? Obviously artificial intelligence, everyone has been talking about how it's been over for a long time, but the big difference is the large language models now being able to use natural language processing, right, to get all this stuff. And a lot of the opt-ins that you can do even to for trials of commercial applications will use your data unless you're paying for it. And, you know, you get marketing folks signing up. There's all these things. So I think just it's just paying a little bit more attention, you know. And then when we move into attacks, right, and how we can protect ourselves, I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the emerging social engineering stuff, because what's happening is even if we've been trained on phishing and we've had 5-10 cybersecurity awareness months and maybe we know a little more, there's this percentage that keeps getting phished, obviously, right? And part of that has to do with AI's hyper-personalization of these email attacks and how fraudulent attempts are there and how accounts are being taken over by legitimate senders that you might be working with as a partner, or an attack came out that no one had seen before, right? And what I typically see is you get down, right? You start getting your phish proneness maybe a little bit better. You start cranking up the dial, getting a little stronger with it. But there is this really difficult piece that's still getting through. And I know that's a big piece conceptually, where AI is actually extremely helpful. And I think that that type of approach to security, taking a look at a behavioral baseline and then deviating from it to increase our security, I think that's a principle everywhere in security. But email, what being our number one vector, tell us a little bit about, you know, what's new in the industry. And if I don't have abnormal or a product like that, right, I got my Gmail, what am I looking for?
So lots of things to unpack there, right? First of all, I think in terms of what we're seeing these days, to your point, we are seeing lots and lots more phishing, lots more social engineering attacks. What we're seeing on the whole is that threat actors have found it's easier to hack humans than to hack systems. And so because of that, they're really targeting our people now. And they're doing that in a variety of ways. So, you know, things like sending malicious links, those kinds of things, and malicious attachments have largely gone away. If you think about, for decades, we've been telling our users to watch out for, in terms of phishing, watch out for clunky language, misspellings, links that look unusual, maybe attachments, you know, don't open those kinds of things. The reality is threat actors are no longer really using those tried and true tactics any longer. Now they're really just seeking to start a conversation, because if they can build a rapport now and get you to talk back and forth with them a little bit, now you're going to probably click on a link and go to a site that looks a lot like the Microsoft login or the Google login or the Hotmail login, right? You're going to end up at one of these login sites that looks legitimate but isn't. You're going to supply your credentials. Those are going to be scraped. And so now we have a bad actor that has your username, your password. And, you know, many people do reuse passwords, which isn't best practice, but I get it. And so now the password that you might have logged into your Gmail account with, they have. It just also happens to be the one that you use for your bank, because it was the great password, the big long one that you had.
The spray
exactly.
Attack.
That's right. Right? Password
spray. The whole forest can burn down if you're using the same one everywhere. You can dig a ditch around each little password tree and isolate it, make it a lot easier to react to it too.
Yeah. So we're seeing those kinds of things, whether it's DocuSign, whether it's, we still see lots of like packaging, especially as we near the holidays and folks
UPS
are
attacks.
More. Yep.
That's on the rise heavy. And then also the phone too, like you said, just trying to start a conversation. You'll just get a text, right? The gift card scheme, classic. Yeah. All that's still happening.
Smishing.
And happening. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Smishing, SMS phishing, right? We see all of these kinds of things. There have been a couple other new ones that over the last year or two, we've seen more and more QR codes, right? Fraudulent QR codes come in. These are particularly nasty because whether it comes into your personal email or your corporate email, we're all going to, you know, scan it the same way. We're going to pull our phone out. We're going to scan it, point it at the screen. And now I'm interacting with that you know, potentially malicious website on my personal device, sidestepping my multi-million dollar corporate tech stack that is designed to protect me from things like this. And so that's also really, really challenging. You know, I think when I think about the defenses for these kinds of things, if I'm honest, I think that we in the security world have been asking the wrong question in terms of security. For years, we've been asking the question, is this bad? Right? So that's signature-based detection. We've somehow defined what evil looks like, and we're searching for that pattern. Whether it's a hash file or it's an IP address or a known bad sender domain, right? We've had these atomic IOCs or indicators of compromise that we've been using for years to define what evil looks like, and we look for those. The problem with that is those atomic indicators are really easy to change. I could be from an entirely different IP address in moments with VPNs. I could recompile code and have a brand new hash. So my malicious file is constantly changing. Now with AI, you can do all of that automatically. And so, you know, what we're seeing is that defining evil has become a really, really slippery slope. And so when you're using signature-based detection, it also counts that somebody else has been bitten by it before. And frankly, I'm not comfortable with that because it's like spotting the threat actor, yeah, their first foray.
Right.
So, you know, instead of saying, is this bad, known bad, what I think we ought to be asking is this good? Is this expected? Is this known? Is this normal? You know, and for years we've been in the network side of things. We've been doing network detection and response, or NDR. We've been doing baselining in that space for a long, long time, and it's been wildly successful.
Yeah.
When you know what normal looks like, seeing abnormal, it just jumps off the page at you. And I think that's the biggest difference going forward. So that's like behavioral data science. We're understanding what normal looks like and then spotting those deviations from norm. That, I think, is the real future of cybersecurity, because now it allows us to not care about what we know is bad. We just only care about what we know is normal or right. And then we look into things that don't appear normal. And that allows you to spot novel attacks, things we've never seen before, 0 days, we call them in the industry.
I love that. Yeah. You know, and building an intuition as such, I think, is extremely important. I like the way you flipped the script on that. It's positive too, right? We
yeah.
start to get, instead of just being numb, you know, it moves from numb to proactive.
Yeah.
So yes. Really, really cool. Well, I know we're almost at time. I'd like to say, you know, thank you very much for joining me for this and helping our listeners in Cybersecurity Awareness Month. I hope as individuals, everyone's staying vigilant and safe out there, right? And then also from a commercial sense, listeners, Imbalance IT Solutions, Abnormal, we're here to help a security awareness strategy for your business if that's something you're interested in. Everyone, you know, stay safe. And Mick, again, thank you.
You're very welcome, Ryan. Thanks again for having me on the show.
Appreciate it.
Imbalance IT Solutions wants to thank you for listening and invite you to join us for the next episode in our podcast series. Remember, Imbalance IT Solutions can help you transform your business's technology, and we welcome you to reach out to us for more information on our website at imbalanceit.com. See you on the next one.